Hello, I'm Sid Roth, and I'm in Redding, California. So beautiful, but behind us in Mount Shasta, there are some 26 major cults. There's witchcraft there. But although the devil has power, inside this church, Bethel Church, is an explosion of God's power. And I want to introduce you to someone that actually went into the church, and witches came into the church, pulled her out for satanic ritual abuse. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with Alan Ray. And this is a man that has counseled former homosexuals that have been set free. People in ritualistic abuse from Satanism that have been set free. This is an unusual thing. Alan, you're trained in psychiatry, you have a college degree. Does this help you a whole lot in this area?
Well, I just really have an undergraduate degree in psychology, and it helped some, but that was back in the late 60s when I got my degree. And it was so objectionable to my Christianity back then, I tossed it away, but God has resurrected it and made it fresh with the Holy Spirit to come alive again.
What I find is some people throw out the baby with the dirty bathwater.
Right.
And there are things that are of value in everything. And just like in witchcraft, I understand they use portions of scripture. We're not going to throw away our Bible.
That's right.
But tell me how you got into this area.
Well, it was a number of years ago when I came on staff here at Bethel Church that I was in charge of the singles group. And the average age was mid-30s or even into the 40s, early 50s. And these people were really battered and abused in their life. I mean, they had experienced maybe one or multiple divorces. So I began in the counseling, and I realized that there were a lot more problems there, and a few of them, than any kind of surface dealing with their behavior could manage.
Now, does this have anything to do with, obviously, the times we're living in, the breakdown of morality, but the fact that Mount Shasta has so many different cult groups, and there's so many people in New Age and Satanists in this particular area of the country?
Yeah, I think that's the case. There's over 20 cult headquarters around Mount Shasta. It's the single most important landmark in the United States. This is probably the most powerful occultic area in the entire United States. So they tend to congregate to places like this, people that are surviving. This is their area in which they lived. And so there's just a high percentage here.
Now, some of our viewers think that it's all either sleight of hand or positive thinking, but there really is a power in the dark realm.
No, absolutely.
And as a result, just out of my curiosity, are you fearful of this power? I mean, you are knocking out people in their movement.
That's correct. Yeah, and unfortunately, I've been finding that my name has been discussed a lot in coven meetings to try to figure out what to do, and they brought in experts, and not just me, but our entire church and our church staff, and they've been very concerned. I've never been fearful. I've experienced being well aware of the deep and dark agenda that they have against what God is doing here. But I believe that God has just really insulated us here in a real marvelous fashion to cover us and protect us in what we're doing.
Now, understand that witches sometimes come into your church.
Quite often.
Now, before you were aware this was going on, did they affect the service in any way?
Yes, they did. And when we first started getting into this, we weren't really aware of what was in our service. And we would just sense the worship was going nowhere, the preaching was flat, there was a lot of confusion, a lot of disruption in the service, kids running around. And after we finally figured out what was going on, we began to pray in intercessory prayer, do battle in the spirit. We rendered confusion against the witches who were coming rather than the other way around, which has been a lot of fun.
Will there come a point where the anointing or the manifest presence of God will be so strong that a witch would have to be crazy to walk into this church?
Actually, the Lord's been talking to me about that about 3 weeks ago, that I saw actually a vision of people not being allowed in the building unless they either belonged to the flock as Christians or else they were invited by the Holy Spirit, because the Lord saw that their heart was ready to hear the truth. But anybody who was going to try to come in just to do damage to the flock was not even going to be allowed in the door, just by the holiness of God, not by anything that we would do.
There's a woman that I'll be interviewing in the next segment, that she came to your congregation mm-hmm. having pretty much renounced Satanism and accepted the Lord. And I'm told that some witches literally pulled her out of the church building and abused her from a satanic viewpoint.
It's been common that in her experience to try to get free from all of this, that they would go to her house, they would come into the church here to contact her and do everything they could to keep her entrenched in it, you know, by threat of bodily harm. And there's a lot of medical records to prove how she had been abused.
What really is done in satanic abuse?
It's such a dark thing. I don't like to talk about a lot of the details, except that typically there's a lot of death. There's animals that are ritually sacrificed.
I hear about sometimes human children. Is that yes. And they even breed them
right.
for that? Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of children and adults that die in this area. And I've had to listen to those stories. I've had to help undo the damage that has happened to, you know, especially the adults who were then children and had to participate in those particular ceremonies and so forth. And it's a real tragic thing.
How does the supernatural of God fit into this?
It is an amazing thing to me to watch the power of the Holy Spirit actually intervene in the midst of the horrible memories that are now able to come out as a result of there being answers and the power of God available to bring redemption and healing. And the power of God is an amazing thing that can go in and actually communicate the love of God in such a way that it's revealed truth. It's not just in their mind. It's not just reading a verse and mentally appraising it, but it actually goes into their heart, and by revelation, they feel God's love and forgiveness and total redemption.
I don't want you to mention a specific name, but would okay. it be possible to give me a specific supernatural instance on an individual that was a major key in their transformation?
Oh, there's been many, many
Obviously.
Of those, yeah. And that's what we live by. Certainly, that's our bread and butter now. And that's the only way people can get
free.
Can you
think of one specific
sure.
one?
Sure. I would, one in particular would be, I was dealing with a woman recently who was living in an area of California that is real highly populated with these Satanists. And in the midst of remembering the event of what happened to her, in this retelling of the story, she actually had a vision of Jesus walking up to her as a child and picking her up and carrying her away from the event. And she remembers, as she was retelling the story, that she ran away. But Jesus actually appeared to her and talked to her about this event. And you know, washed her off and cleansed her and began to speak truth that I didn't even know how to communicate. And at the end of it, she says, "This is what Jesus appeared to me in the midst of this memory, and this is what he told me." And it was astounding, things that I didn't even know about myself as far as the heart of Jesus for a person as a child going through this.
And what effect did this have on her as far as, is she healthy today, free of witchcraft?
She's healthy and free, began to laugh in my office, wanted to hug everybody. The next Sunday, when she had been terrified of our church and worship because of how it would trigger her about the cult, she was dancing in the front of the church in the center and was just totally redeemed and set free.
We're going to meet an ex-witch, an ex-person from Satanism, an ex-person from satanic abuse. And for security reasons, we're going to not identify her by name. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and we're doing something we've never done before on It's Supernatural. My guest, her identity is completely disguised, her voice is altered because she is an ex-Satanist. She understands what it is from baby being ritually abused. And there's some insights and some people that God is going to set free because she has been set free. She knows the truth. And there are so many people that are captive right now. Do you have any idea of the numbers?
No, it would probably be staggering because of the ones that have been in generational ties. And for those who have been pulled into ceremonies, there are children raised to be breeders and used in different forms that are tied to it and don't believe that there's a way out.
Was there a point where you did not believe there was any way out?
Yes, there was a point that was extremely scary, and it was a point where I was being pulled both ways, both by the cult and by what I knew and I was seeing in Christianity and what was really happening here at Bethel. One time in particular was when I realized that there were being people healed all over the sanctuary, and yet the cult only has a power within their circle, and I couldn't understand that, and that was one of the pulls that actually...
Excuse me, what do you mean they were being healed all over the sanctuary and the cult only has authority in their circle? What do you mean by their circle?
The covens have a circle they use as their circle of power, and the Christian church, well, people were being healed all over the sanctuary. There were people with miracles occurring, and I couldn't account for that, and that was a real turning point.
So you're telling me it's a greater power in Christianity than in Satanism?
Absolutely.
I know that, but I like to hear it.
Yes.
Tell me about your background. Were your parents into Satanism?
My parents and my grandparents, and it's generational back through history. We had ties with about 12 different types of cults.
Is that typical, many generations of Satanism?
It's typical to be generational. It's not typical to be involved with that many different organizations within the cults.
But the thing I don't quite understand is you were a Southern Baptist, very religious, if you will, during the day, and into ritual abuse of Satan at night. How are the two compatible?
They aren't, because they're so opposite. What they had done from the time I was an infant was they divided my mind, where I had a part of me that was involved in the cult, had a part of my mind that couldn't accept that kind of situation, that kept me normal during the daytime. And I was raised to make the appearance of good in my family.
What was your father's background?
He was from a Quaker, Southern Baptist background.
And what was his background in Satanism?
He was in leadership.
Okay, why would a Satanist want to be in a staunch fundamentalist Southern Baptist church?
This is typical that they will have a front that will make them look normal to society. A lot of the leadership in different organizations throughout the United States and churches throughout the United States also are very heavily involved in the cult.
What was the first time that you began to question what was happening to you?
I think there were different times in my life when I was in college. I realized there was something fundamentally wrong, but I couldn't tell what it was. And again, at different points when I had my children, I knew something was very wrong, but I couldn't understand why. And eventually I dropped out of church because I would finish the service and I would leave so frustrated. And yet I knew people had something I wanted, but I couldn't figure out what was wrong in my life, that I couldn't feel as happy and satisfied in Jesus as they were. And so that was a point in time where I knew something had to be different. I left church for an entire summer. And then in the fall, I went to a Christian coffee house.
Why did you go to the Christian coffee house?
I was just going to buy a card, and I really knew something was wrong, but I couldn't really discern what it was. And I thought, I'll just go by there. Maybe there's a book. Maybe there's something that will help.
So you were really reaching out for help.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, was there anyone that you know of today that was praying for you to come out of Satanism?
I think there were people praying for me, but they not necessarily to come out of Satanism, because most of my close friends didn't have an idea that this was even happening. I had people pray, you know, throughout the years. But when I left the church, what happened was that I had been programmed with hymns. And in the fundamental churches, the hymns were reinforcing what they had taught me in the cult.
So let me see if I understand this. You were programmed with hymns with evil attached with it, but
yes,
they were good Christian hymns,
yes,
so that when you would go to church and hear these hymns, you would think about things in Satanism.
That's correct.
Why would they do that?
They do that to defile anything having to do with Christianity, to make it where Christianity wouldn't work for people who have been raised generationally. Amazing Grace is one I think of, and they did horrible things during the time that Amazing Grace was sung. So every time I was in a church service and they would sing it, then I would have these horrible feelings of terror, of fright, of just confusion, of not knowing what was wrong, but knowing something was very wrong.
You know, the thought was crossing my mind is, when God does new things, and right now he's up to something new right here at Bethel Church and many churches throughout the world, he has new music. It must foul the Satanists up. They can't, you know, brainwash you with the new. They can only brainwash you with the old.
That's correct. It's caused some confusion for them because they don't know what to do in situations where people aren't hearing those fundamental hymns. It's not reinforcing it, and that's making it more prevalent for people to remember things that have to do with the cult.
What happened at this coffee house?
Okay, this was a change in my life because I was sitting having a cup of coffee and writing a card to a friend when a man came up and started speaking into my life and talking about things that I had done.
How did he know?
He had the gift of prophecy, eventually I found out.
Now, what he told you, what was that? Was he hitting a bullseye?
He was absolutely 100% correct. He talked about different things, different activities I had been involved in. He talked very specific, and it wasn't generalities. It was absolutely, you saw three healings within a certain period of time, and he was just dead on in what he was saying, and it scared me.
Why did it scare you? Hold that thought. Tell you what, we'll come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm interviewing an ex-Satanist. And because of security, we are disguising her appearance and her voice. You were telling me that you were, in your way, you were reaching out for help, and you went into a Christian coffee house, and someone came up to you, you didn't know him at all, and he, as we like to say, he read your mail. How did you feel when he knew these things about your life?
It absolutely terrified me because I had not grown up near anyone who spoke prophecy. And so I called a friend, and she told me it was God. I need to listen.
And were you happy, afraid? What was going on inside?
I was absolutely terrified. I just thought, what is God doing? And why is this happening?
And then you saw a Christian television show. Why are you watching a Christian television show?
That night, I knew something had happened the day before, and so the next day I was watching a Christian show, just kind of searching, trying to figure out what was going on, and I had a vision.
A vision?
A vision.
Was this from God?
I didn't know what it was at first.
Well, what was it?
I called Bethel and asked if there's someone here that could give me information and tell me possibly what had happened. And when I knew that if I came here, I probably would never come back again, and I would never run into these people again and be embarrassed by having such a weird question. And so the person I spoke to was one of the pastors, and he said, no, this is from God, and you decide if it's for you or if it's corporate. And that was a point where I knew God was doing something, and it was something I couldn't understand.
Could you tell me the vision?
I had a vision of a vase, and the vase just was shattered. And then the vase had lots of hands around it, and it was in plaster. And then I could see the chipping away of the vase. Then I saw the vase, and it had like a rainbow, and it had a dove coming out of it with just a stream of water going in. And at that time, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something powerful.
I don't need a supernatural revelation to know what that is. Now, you came here for counseling.
That's correct.
And after a period of counseling, many people that have been under ritual abuse have blocked, as a form of protection, the horrible things they've went through, and they don't even remember them. Was that true in your case?
That was 100% true. I had no idea. I had a very normal life, was active in community events, active in church, had gone to a Christian college, and knew something was wrong but didn't know what it was until I started having memories of a ritual.
How does it feel? How does it feel now to be free?
Absolutely wonderful. I have sorrow over the years I've lost, but I also have an incredible joy.
Well, let me ask you a very pointed question for a reason. What happens if you hear a song that perhaps you were programmed to tie in with Satanism, as you had explained earlier? They use Christian hymns when they're doing the abuse and to brainwash you against Christianity in kind of a perverse fashion. What happens when you hear a song like Amazing Grace?
You know, it's been reclaimed for God. Right now, I have sorrow over the years that I lost and the way that they had used it, but I have incredible joy and incredible depth of feeling for the songs. They have a significance that I'm sure a lot of people would understand.
You told me that there was one power in a Christian church that overcame everything the devil had, and it's a word that we have in the Bible. It's called love. How was this demonstrated to you here at Bethel?
When I came to Bethel, I couldn't understand the people here because they would hug you, and that's something that I didn't do. I was very reserved, and I didn't understand that kind of love. And there was a point where things became very hard because of the different abuse that they were using, and I just wanted to give up and quit. And Pastor Allen and his secretary both told me that morning, said, you know, if you leave, said, we're still going to love you, we're still going to pray for you, and we're going to pray your protection. And the love is what kept drawing me back, but I couldn't understand anything else. I knew that there was something in the love here.
And what happens when Christians are really worshiping God to a practicing Satanist that might be infiltrating a church?
The hardest part for Satanists in a church is when there's praise. The power of the Christian community is in the praise to God. It's not for somebody being down and being mournful and woe's me. It's actually in the praise and the singing and in the worship. And that's a time that a lot of times you'll see people who are in the cult leaving because they don't know how to handle it.
You also told me that in Satanism, there are a lot of things done that are almost counterfeits of authentic Christianity. Give me an example.
They take anything that is important in Christianity and absolutely destroy the feelings towards that. For instance, the things used in communion are used in the cult in such a way that they are a negative.
I have to ask you this question. While you were being counseled, you were in a vulnerable state. And they actually came to the church and pulled you out. Where you stand right now, would you ever touch anything of ritual abuse or Satanism?
I would never go back to anything having to do with the cult in any way.
And if you could give one thought to one person that's a practicing Satanist, what would it be?
That the love of God and the Christian movement is so much more powerful, as stronger, and it's definitely worth any changes that you'd have to go through.
Is there hope for every person in cults and Satanism?
There is just an incredible joy, there's incredible forgiveness from Jesus and the Father God, and I would recommend that anyone who is in Satanism stop and look at the power. Go into the churches and challenge it. Go in their prayer lines and let people pray for you and see what happens. If you don't think it's real, try it.
I don't have anything to comment beyond that. I want you to know that it is real. He is real. He's real. Jesus is the answer to every problem you have. Not religion. Jesus. Get it? Knowing him. Intimacy.